Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, folks, I am Scorekeeper, and we're ready to get this show on the road. Chat room will be opening up shortly, folks, and I remind everyone to just head on over to ndbmedia.net for details on all of our programs, as well as twitter.com/ndbmedia. For the sports channel, we have NDB Sports on Twitter, and you can always find us on Facebook. We're NDB Media and Sports Talk with the Guys. If you guys want to call in, you know the number, 347-637-2306. And I got to tell you, it's a glorious day. World Cup soccer is at its zenith, and I got to tell you, I'm on a disappointed side. This weekend is Sonoma. I don't know what it's called, the Toyota 350, don't know, whatever. It is what it is, and it's on this week. It's NASCAR. It's, folks, if you're not watching the World Cup, which you should be catching the NASCAR event, because this is not the average turn left, turn left, turn left, oh, and turn left, and you just go in circles. It's kind of like you want to go somewhere, right? Well, the NASCAR road course at Sonoma, the Sonoma Raceway, Speedway, whatever it is. I got to tell you, it's awesome. There are curves that don't go in the direction that you should expect. And it's what is referred to as a road course. So that one starts, I believe, it's at noon this Sunday. I don't know which events are going on right now, but I do want to send good positive thoughts. I can't remember his name now, the European driver came out of the coma that was injured in December. We talked about it a while ago, and I hope he's going to be doing better. But anyway, I know it's a well-known name as well, but just I don't remember at the moment. Anyway, it's going to be good. I got to tell you, it's this weekend, and it's going to be at 12 noon Eastern, so that's kind of early for us, which is kind of cool, but it's great. Now, apparently, Stewart issues a stern warning to Larson following the Michigan run-in, so little boys are starting to argue amongst themselves. Hopefully, they'll be getting their act together real soon. Anyway, in World Cup, today's matches, wow, Argentina versus Iran, yeah, sounds like a rerun. In group additional group F play, oh, that's at 9 a.m. on ESPN or on Univision, and that's Pacific time. Additional group G play, Germany versus Ghana at 12 p.m. on ESPN or Univision in Spanish, and final group F play, Nigeria versus Bosnia and Herzegovina at 3 p.m. on ESPN. So, a lot of stuff going on. Tomorrow's events, let's see. Yeah, it's going to be at 9 a.m. on ABC, Belgium versus Russia in Group H play. Group H, Korea Republic versus Algeria at 12 p.m. on ABC. And then Group G play, United States versus Portugal at 3 p.m. on ESPN. Wow, good stuff there. Let me see. Yesterday's play, to quote, who should I quote? I'm not going to quote his full name, but he has a hockey name here. Oh, my God, I can't believe that guy. I'm forgetting his name right now, but famous hockey player. Just can't remember his name right now. But Dan did say when Italy went down, it was big news, first time a Central American team has won two in a row in the World Cup. Costa Rica gives them the jab, then gives them in the jaw to Italy, and down goes Italy. Down goes Italy. Wow. It was absolutely awesome in Group D play. In Group E, France was robbed of one, but they still ended up blowing out France 5-2. Man, it was just a blowout. It was over in the second, I don't know when they scored the fourth goal, 4-0. Let's win to score two quick goals, but it doesn't matter. 5-2. And Ecuador at Honduras, 2-1. So, wow. Some stuff is going to be settled very, very soon. But there have been several teams that are nations that have already been eliminated. If you look at Group A play, yeah, Cameroon, they lost twice. They're done. They are done. There's just no way that they could. There's just no way. In Group B play, both Australia and Spain, the defending champ Spain, gone. I'm sorry. They're gone. I'm not laughing at Australia. I love the line down under. But Spain, the defending champ, has been eliminated, and they were eliminated early. In Group C, well, you still have a chance for someone. Well, Colombia already has two wins. Cote d'Ivoire has one, but they have lost. So the second-place spot is still up in doubt there. In Group D play, Costa Rica has already, they will advance to the second. It's still up in the air whether Italy and Uruguay. England could theoretically still make it if both Italy and Uruguay lose. But, well, yeah, it's possible. It is possible. In Group E play, France is 2-0, as I mentioned. Just put it to the Swiss. They're going to advance. And Honduras, yeah, I think, let's see, are they done? Yeah, I think they're done. It's going to be Ecuador or Switzerland. I don't know. Well, wait a minute. No, Honduras might have a chance. If Switzerland loses or Ecuador loses, yeah, actually, there still is a bit of a chance for them. And we still have Group F play, Group G and H. Lots of stuff that has yet to be decided. But, all right. There we go, folks. Give you a quick World Cup roundup. I want to thank everyone listening both live and in the archive. I want to thank Tarvino for joining us in the chat room. Don't worry, we'll get to some real sports in a little bit. But I am expecting the couch potato to cover for me. This will be a shortened program for me. I have an event to get to this morning. Here's my letter. Let's see. County Lieutenant Department of Public Works, June 5th, to Roger Noriega at blah, 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 blah. Building Permit Technician 1, OC. It's called Open Competitive, meaning anyone can go for it. Exam number is C4161K, Saturday, 6/21/2014, 8 a.m. Please be prompt. At Los Angeles County Department of Public Works, 900 South Fremont Avenue, Conference Room A. Alhambra, California, 918-033-13331. Duration, 2 hours. Please bring this letter and an official picture identification, such as driver's license, in order to be admitted to the examination. Well, I have an exam this morning. It says it's going to go 2 hours. I have never, ever, 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 and I will say ever in my life, ever taken more than the time allotted. I'm usually the first or second one done. I refuse to be the first one because when the first one is done, everyone looks up and hates that bastard. So I am not that bastard. I am the second one. But knowing what I'm going to be doing today, permit technician, this is going to be English, Spanish, reading, writing, all that stuff, math, I probably will be the first one done. I remember I did take an exam, several times I took the exam, and I was done, like a five-hour exam, I was done in like 50 minutes. And I was just itching, and like, come on, who's the first idiot? Come on, where are you? I'm off, screw it, I'm up, I'm out. I could tell, and I was like, holy crap, you done already? I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I mean, this is English. I was born here. I'm sorry, I speak it. Thou'st English, both the new version and the old version. I really do. Dost thou'st it, understand it, when I go back in time it? I know that was stupid, wasn't it? But speaking of being stupid, I have to acknowledge that I am a witness. I have been part to the million man. Let's see, how should I say it? Million man? Yeah, I was part of the million man march. And the man that headed up the million man march, I got to tell you, has decided to make his presence felt in mourning. And I got to tell you, I'm just jazzed by it. 1 million listeners at Full On Talk Radio just the other day. I caught the post, jazz for him. I'm like half his audience. NDB Media is 400 Plus and sports. Oh, you know what? I had not looked at the Sports Talk with the Guys numbers. I know it's somewhere around 200,000. I'm going to take a look at it right now just because I want to see how big I am compared to him. Yeah, I said it. Here we go. Let's see. What is Sports Talk with the Guys? Here's the numbers. What? Hold on. Hold on. Okay, those are stats. Oh, that's just for the week. Like, no way. No, actually, that's not the week. Come on, where's the dashboard? Where's all the information? Come on, where are my numbers? Oh, okay, 165,000 listens. So we're at 568,000, more or less, give or take a few. But anyway, I kept them on for way too long. Let me bring him on right now. He is a Southern gentleman.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
No harm. Wow.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they were born.
Yes, indeed, he has been in trouble with the law. Or, like, more often than not, just the people who listen to the airwaves. Good morning, Brian!
Good morning, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I am blinded by the aura of the million man himself. You are it, Brian. Congratulations, hitting a million listeners. Way to go, buddy.
Thank you. I had to combine my NPR media at the time numbers with the Blog Talk Radio number, so it's not all Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. You didn't have to tell anyone that, but let me see. When someone brags about 1,000 downloads or 100 downloads, Andy B.B., you know, you only take it so seriously. But when someone says, yeah, dude, that crossed a million, that's huge. That is huge. I remember when we announced that we crossed 500,000. Those are real numbers. But a million? Wow. Dude, them big numbers. Congratulations to you, Brian, and your compatriot, Trey. Way to go, dude.
Thank you. This is our third year doing it. And, you know, during football season, the numbers can get real high. And it seems like June, Roger, it's like, wow, numbers are depressing. And then June. So hopefully it'll pick back up soon.
You know, folks, Brian broke up there a little bit, and all I heard was you depressing, but it's great for us. Like, wow, what the hell?
June number is very depressing, man.
I know. You said June. Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, the fact of the matter is Brian is an expert when it comes to many sports. Love his opinion, love his commentary, really good stuff. And his numbers are representative of his expertise. But not only his expertise, the verve, the passion, and the fun of his program. And he is on like clockwork every Sunday night and most of the time on Wednesdays, if not every Wednesday. You can catch him at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 Eastern, and if those times are incorrect, he will correct me. Of course, it is blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, but he's also maybe having a little bit more news as well. He said NPR, but you've been picked up somewhere else, right there, pal?
We're going to be on NPR Radio starting Wednesday night, and that's really in the Northeast. So I think my listeners are mainly southeast, southwest, west, northwest, but it's hard to break into that northeast. So we're gonna do our best to do that. Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey area. So we're gonna start that Wednesday night and see how it goes, and we'll be taking live callers from them as well. So it should be interesting.
Well, it should be interesting, but your skill and expertise it's gonna make it fun, it's gonna make it exciting. Way in Sports Talk, but I know he will correct me. It is the Way in Sports Talk show. Is that correct, or am I getting it wrong still?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
You notice he didn't say which one, whether I was right or wrong. So I'm going to go with the one that I got wrong. Yes, sir. Right as always. You always get it wrong, Rod.
that's Sonny. You always get it right. Sonny always gets it wrong.
Oh, thank you. You realize that now has become a soundbite, right?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah,
I love Sonny. He called it about 12 different names for a while there.
Oh, that's regarding the sports show. Oh, no. I now have the soundbite saying, Raj, you always get it right. Caspian always gets it wrong. That's right. That's all the soundbite I was going to say, pal. That's it. Oh, my goodness.
Well, where's the crew at this morning? Where's the crew at this morning?
Well, Sonny is not awake yet, obviously. He said he would do the program, but I think he was up and about yesterday, so that's what's keeping him awake. Cuervo, I don't know right now. He's more of a visitor than anything. And maybe everyone's hungover. I don't know what happened late last night, but the big dog folks, I don't want to make this any bigger than it is, but the big dog is not doing well. I contacted him throughout the week to let him know that I wouldn't be available all day, but he sent me a message early this morning that he is not well. He does not expect to be, he's not going to be available today. But hopefully the big dog will recover. I believe, I guess I'm not really violating that trust because this is his family right here online. I am worried. The big dog did not have a bad night. He had a bad night. And he does, I think he has gone to the emergency room. He does have fluid in one, if not in both lungs. So we are concerned for the big dog, and we hope that he will be making a speedy recovery. Now, knowing that you have fluid in your lungs, does that make you positive buoyant, or does that mean you have positive buoyancy or negative buoyancy? So if he were to come over, jump in the pool, is he going to sink or will he float?
He's going to float.
Big dog, cut the crap. Get over here. If you have positive buoyancy, get your ass over here. folks, I apologize. Scorekeeper is a mother effing rat bastard. You shouldn't be shocked by it. But big dog, this program does not work without you. You have to hurry up, get those lungs drained, and get over here. Sports talk with the guys does not work without the big dog. So deal with it. That's need you back, and looking forward to your return there, big dog. So anyway, we are still live right now. We're having a great morning. I'm joined by Tarvino. Went over a World Cup, even a little bit of NASCAR. I am disappointed, Brian. There's a lot of World Cup events going on this week, but NASCAR has the Sonoma race course this weekend. I don't know if you've ever watched the road courses. I should say not a race course. The road course. You ever pay attention to the Sonoma race?
Well, I haven't.
I
got to
tell you,
it.
Brian. I'm not sure if you're a NASCAR fan or not. I think you do follow it, but, Brian, if you're going to watch a race, a NASCAR race, this is one of the three, or if you're going to watch one, I recommend this is the one you watch. Sonoma is not left turns only. There's actually right turns, straightaways, cuts up and down, over the hills and through the woods to grandma's house we go. It is a fun road course. I got to tell you, if you're going to watch a race, this is the race to watch. And it's this Sunday. It's cool. I know they had the truck race already, and they should be having the other one, I think the Nationwide, tonight. So,
okay,
fun,
I'll check
man.
It out. Roger, give me about 3 minutes, and I'll be right back, okay? I'm going to stay on. I've got to give Wells to the groomer here to trim his nails, so I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Sounds good, folks. And there is an owner that loves his pet. It is Brian, his dog. You know, the big dog referred to him as Cujo. And he's told us on air the name, and we got it last week, so we're going to keep to it. He just called him Wells. His name is Wellington, and he's, my guy, so I can't say he's a cute little pup, but he is a cute little pup. And I think Brian will put some more pictures on Facebook so we can see them in the future. But Wellington, man, best friend, but he's a good dog, hear a lot about him, and I love talking to Brian about his dog. And I haven't spoken to Brian in a while off air, I gotta start calling him. I think it's because Brian was always calling me, and I never called him back because, you know, Roger is, I mean, the scorekeeper is the rat bastard that he is. So, I mean, I gotta change that. I've got to start harassing Brian. Yeah, I said it. I said it on air. So, there it is. Brian's taking care of Wellington, and what we're going to do is we're going to head on over to Major League Baseball right now, take a look. I don't know if you've been watching Sports Talk with a Guy and ESPN, folks, but apparently on WebGem, it looks like Cespedes has been doing it for 7 weeks in a row, maybe 8 weeks in a row. No, 8 days in a row on the WebGem. It's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a damn good play. Throws out the Angel at Anaheim. I think it was Kendrick that he threw out. But you should check it out. It's a good play. And it's been holding out for at least a week now. It might be into his eighth day. But anyway, in Major League Baseball news yesterday, Chicago doubled up on the Pirates 6-3. Washington in 13 innings outlasted Atlanta. Lost to Atlanta 6-4. The Yankees in the bottom of the ninth beat Baltimore 5-3. Detroit by 2 over Cleveland 6-4. Houston factor of 3 over Tampa Bay 3-1. Of course, Miami edged the Mets. Sorry, Tanya. Sorry, Cliff. Sorry, Karen. Now, we're loaded with Mets fans here, but I know they weren't happy. Miami edged them 3-2. Toronto, at one point, was down 8-0. Just tore into Cincinnati. I love it. I love it. 14-9. Well, I know Toronto was pissed because they got swept by the Yankees. Yankees are now in the playoff hunt again. Minnesota, 5-4 over the White Sox. Seattle Seahawks, 7 over Los Reales de Kansas City, 5. Philadelphia really put it to St. Louis, 5-1. Milwaukee, 13-10 over Colorado. Arizona, 4-1. Quad City, 4-1 over San Francisco. Oakland edged Boston, 4-3. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 7-3 over Texas. And San Diego edged the Dodgers 6-5. Folks, if there's a chance on your Roku, Chrome, whatever, to watch the ESPN app, you can check out the segments of Keith Olbermann. And yesterday he had Goose Gossage on, Rich Goose Gossage, which was really cool. And then, of course, he had a few other guys on when he was talking about Tony Gwynn. And if you guys have a chance, check out Keith Olbermann. I got to tell you, I loved it when he was on MSNBC, and I loved it when he was on Current. It's really, really good stuff. If there's anyone I admire in sports, it would have to be Keith Olbermann. But check out his interviews, commentary. I know he's not for everyone because he speaks correct English, but hey. Keith Olbermann is really fun to watch, and I'm trying to enjoy him because there's going to come a time where he's going to get tired of what he's doing there, and he's going to quit that and go on to something else or move on to something else. Sorry, I spoke hood there for a moment, but enjoy him while it lasts right now. In the standings in Major League Baseball, wow, I'm happy. American League East. I was really worried about the Yankees. I still am, but Toronto is in the lead in the American League East, 42-33, followed by the Yankees, 1.5 back. In the Central, Detroit, 38-32, is followed by Los Reales de Kansas City, half a game back. In the West, Oakland, 46-28, best team in baseball, if I'm not mistaken, yes they are, followed by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of Chavez Ravine, six games back. And over in the National League, Atlanta, as I mentioned, edged Washington in extra innings. They remain at 38-35. Or they moved up to 38-35, half a game ahead of Washington. Milwaukee, 45-30, 5.5 ahead of St. Louis. And in the West, the hated ones, 43-30 over Los Dodgers by 4 games. Wow. Good stuff going on there, folks. A lot of good stuff. Let me do the quick promo. Sports Talk with the Guys is live on the air. We're going to do it on Twitter, Sports Talk with the guys is live. You back there, Brian? No, not yet. He's still spending time with Wellington. So, in today's games, in the American League, of course, Toronto is at Cincinnati. The Yankees at Baltimore. Boston is at Oakland. Tampa Bay's at home versus Houston. Detroit is at Cleveland. Kansas, Los Reales is at Kansas City versus the Seahawks. As I mentioned, Cleveland is hosting Detroit. The Chicago White Sox at Minnesota, and Minnesota is versus the White Sox. As I mentioned, Oakland versus Boston, Angels versus Texas, Seahawks at Reales, Texas at the Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine, Houston at Tampa Bay, the Rays in the National League, Washington hosts Atlanta, Miami's visiting the Mets. No, the Mets are visiting Miami. Philadelphia is at St. Louis. Milwaukee's at Colorado. Let's see, Pittsburgh is at Chicago. Of course, the hated ones are at Arizona. Los Doyers at San Diego. And I think we covered all the games right there, at least in baseball for right now. So we'll see. Got to tell you, going over a lot of stuff right now. But again, I have to repeat it, folks. NASCAR, it's the NASCAR event. There's a soccer game at 12, and then there's the NASCAR event. I don't want to. I mean, come on, why this weekend? Why this weekend? And speaking of why this weekend, I don't know if you heard it. Oh, Brian did. He actually heard our calling the football game. I got to tell you, I never thought that I would hear the Couch Potato adopt this as his background song.
Gentleman, I don't know if Brian's with you. Good morning.
Well, I don't know if he's with me, but he is on air. He is dropping Wellington off. And there he is. He just dropped off Wellington, folks. Good morning, Couch Potato. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going today?
Doing very well. You just woke up, didn't you?
I did. I just got my coffee, but yeah, I just woke up, got my coffee, and headed my way to my desk so I could get online and listen to Sports Talk with the guys.
I appreciate that. Mr. Clark, are you going to be able to take over the program?
Yeah. What time?
Probably within the next 18 to 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all set, and I'll continue. I'll call in and I'll log in to yours and check in here in a minute.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to log out of the chat room and go back as the co-host. I'm going to do that one. So you go in as the host on the chat room. So we'll do that. And what I'm going to do actually. Here's a plan, Sonny. I have to be there at 8 o'clock, so I have to be there early to register and stuff. So I'm gonna be on the program till I get to Alhambra, and I'll probably, you know, I'm gonna go offline, and then I'm gonna, you know, gotta do the shower and shave, you know, all that stuff, and then be on the road about 7. I'm gonna call back in about 7, and I'll be there online with you guys till I'm done. No, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. I was going through a coughing jag. Yeah, that sounds good. I will. I'm logging in right now, so I will head over into the studio. All right, I'm in the studio.
Okay, excellent. So also, Sonny, I know you didn't hear. I had contacted the big dog, but I mentioned this to you. Last night that I didn't think the big dog would be available. You know, I had a sneaky suspicion the big dog was not doing well. You know, say what you will about the scorekeeper. The scorekeeper runs according to his own little clock. He'll get back to you.
Right.
He's saying yes. Scorekeeper will do what he wants whenever he wants because he is a scorekeeper. But the big dog is a man of the people. If you contact him, he will respond. And the big dog has not responded to me for the last few days. He finally sent me a message at 2 this morning. Mr. Clark, the big dog is not well right now. I believe he is in the emergency room. He has fluid in his lungs. And
again,
he just cannot dodge it, man. He cannot dodge it. So our thoughts and prayers are with the big dog right now. I'll say it again. Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday morning, Monday night, Thursday night, whatever it is, does not work without the big dog. So, folks, the loyal listeners and, dare I say, fans, every time the big dog says, our fans, shut up, dude. We don't have fans. We have listeners. But our listeners, we're asking for your good thoughts.
Our groupies.
We are
groupies.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now, that's funny because I might actually go with groupies. But, you know, the big dog likes to needle me because I never refer to anything that I do on air as a show. Number one, it's not a show. It is a program. And I've always had that thing that the big dog says, "Wow, thanks for listening to the show, people." And he's sitting like 2 feet in front of me. I'm like, what a dick. What a dick. Because he's looking right at me when he says it. And then the other line, of course, he uses is, you know, our fans, like, dude, we don't have fans. How can we be so arrogant to believe that we have fans? We have listeners. And that's why I say what I do, guys. But I do like groupies, Brian. I do. I like groupies. That one is funny.
I think groupies is the right one to say. Yes.
I'm a sports star with
the
guy.
Only Brian.
Yeah. I'm a sports star with a guy, couch potato groupie here, I have to admit.
Well, we are groupies of the Caps Potato Sports Show, and we are groupies of the Weigh In Sports Talk Show. Sonny, I don't know if you saw it, but Brian had a huge announcement this week. Actually, two of them.
No,
so
I didn't.
Because I know you didn't, because we would have been talking crap about Brian on the phone. I know you didn't.
Probably.
Because you would have called. You believe that crap when Brian just announced? That's bullshit. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So, well, what is he announcing?
Tell everyone again, please, the mark that you just passed and where you're going to be hosted as well.
We just passed 100 billion listeners. I'm joking. I had to say that. You know, Dr. Evil, Lost in Powers, I love that.
1 billion.
But we're over the million mark now in listeners, and that's combined with MTR Media. But, you know, start.
And there's
hey, wait a minute.
Show.
Yeah, wait a minute. Is that Wellington crying bullshit? Is he actually being bullshit? That's funny.
I'm calling me out on my line.
We crossed a million. They're talking. I said it again. I crossed a million and Wellington crying bullshit.
That's funny.
Just kidding, but he actually did. He crossed a million, and we just announced, Sonny, because we looked at our numbers as well. NDB Media is over 400,000, and Sports Talk with the Guys is, I announced it just a moment ago, I think it was 160-something. So we are just pleased as punch to know that over 500... Oh, that's not on all of our channels either, guys. That's right. I have several other channels. So I'm going to have to go over those numbers too, but we're pleased as punch. My God, over 650,000 people have listened to the NDB Media Radio Network. Wow. That's just unbelievable.
Yes,
and now
that's
a
lot.
Million. Yeah, and now a million for Brian. But his second part of the news is, he kind of mentioned it, you're going to be hosted in the Northeast now, right, Brian?
Yes, we're going to be on MTR Radio starting Wednesday night, and we'll be live on Block Talk Radio at MTR.
That's funny, because the minute that Brian starts to say something, Wellington starts barking. I like that.
I saw a damn dog driving down the street here back from the vet, and he's going crazy.
Oh, so in other words, he's saying, Dad, stop. I got to get me some.
Exactly. That's what he's wanting. It's a beautiful poodle. He likes poodles.
Wow. There you go. Cujo, as the big dog appropriately named him. His real name is Wellington, but we do like Cujo. Well, folks, we are off to a wonderful morning. We already covered some baseball results. We did World Cup. As we mentioned, NASCAR. Damn it, Sonny, I'm pissed. This weekend is the NASCAR road course at Sonoma, and my wife has the TV all day for World Cup. I'm pissed. Oh, we lost Sonny, and now he's back. Dude, I'm pissed.
Yeah,
Sonoma, baby. It's okay, you're back. Are you going to be watching NASCAR this weekend?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I got to tell you, gentlemen, I worked.
And I tried. I tried to watch. By the way, scorekeeper, I tried to watch the soccer last, I think it was last Sunday. Yeah, last Sunday. I couldn't do it.
I told you guys to watch the American game, which I believe was on Monday, and I was an effing genius because the game opened up. By the way, the United States won 2-1 over Ghana, which eliminated them 4 years ago, and they now hold the second fastest score in World Cup history at 31 seconds. Yeah. Anyway,
I just can't muster enough to watch it.
Now, you know the United States plays Germany this Sunday. You know that, right?
I guess I'm not patriotic. I guess because
there's
just something inside me that is not wanting or not that I don't understand the sport. I understand the sport, there's just something that's keeping me away, and I don't. And you may be perfect, right on there, scorekeeper, what you said last week. Not necessarily the violence, because I'm more about the finesse of the game, that being hockey and football, more so than I am, because the fights don't do anything for me. In fact, I think they ought to fine everybody, but they don't. I'm not able to get into it and say, yep, I'm gonna end up doing it. So.
Well, Brian. I brought it up on his program. I was listening to Brian, where he brought up the subject as well. And I don't think he was talking to Trey. I think he was talking to Mr. Miklos, right? Was it?
Yeah, it was Jonathan.
It was Jonathan. And Jonathan brought up some good stuff. Do you recall what he said there, Brian?
Not really. I kind of zoned out when he was talking about the World Cup, but I'll have to go back and listen.
Well, Jonathan did say that, look, guys, soccer is not an American sport. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Look at the sports that we play. They are American sports. And that's another thing. That's probably another one that I did not care to comment on directly. But I think Jonathan got that one right. So he added to it. That in addition to all the stuff I said, there's another thing. Soccer is, it'll be played by kids, and if you think about it, guys, soccer is the best sport for kids because it tires them the hell out. I think it's great.
Yep.
It works. Hey, it's awesome. It works. That's how you put your kid to sleep. But, wow, we have a lot of people in the chat room now. There's 3 NDB Media Sports in the chat room, which is kind of neat. I don't know how the hell that happened. But
I think something happened with my. I think something happened with my line out there. One dropped off,
My chat room has sucked lately. I can't get anybody in the chat room. People download it and stuff, but I want some live fun on the show, and hopefully football will bring that back to me. But man, it's been dead in the chat room. Have y'all noticed that,
yeah,
or is it just my show?
Yes.
No.
It has been. But Sonny and I remember that over the years, summer did slow down. I mean, our audience just would die in the summer for some reason.
Yep.
So I
yeah, when
I
we start
about...
when we get back into football season, when we get, you know, back to our norm of what we know best, when we do the football games, you know, we get some listens and stuff like that. But take away from that, yeah, it does. It drops off in the summertime, and then once everybody gets back interested in America's sport, then that being football, then we start drawing them in, you know, by the hundreds. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
It just it always has been a drop-off in the summer, and I noticed that the other programs pick up for me because we are year-round on that. We're fortunate. It's just that our expertise is narrow, and we see the different waves. And, Brian, it's going to pick up. That's the only constant the university is going to pick up. So we're going to see. Folks, we're well into the second quarter here on Sports Talk with the Guys. For those of you that were listening or not listening, the Cash Potato is going to take over in just a little bit, so it's going to be real good. I'm actually probably going to hand it off, right? You know, Sonny, are you ready to take over as host right now?
Hey, I'm never ready for my own show, so yeah, I'm ready to
okay,
roll.
Okay, Brian.
Why not?
Brian, I'm going to ask you to take over for about the next 2 minutes while we do the transfer. So if you would, Brian,
okay.
You are, ladies and gentlemen, all hands on deck. Ensign, Brian, you are now in command of the Titanic, otherwise known as NDC.
Thank you. Thank you, scorekeeper. I'll try not to crash it too bad. But you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys on MDB Media. And, again, Big Dog, we're wishing you the best. Hope you return fast. But one thing we haven't talked about yet that a lot of people don't talk about, the College Baseball World Series today. There's two games on, Virginia, Ole Miss, Texas, and Vanderbilt. Those two, the winners, are going to play in the College World Series Championship. I don't know, with all the football, World Cup, hockey, NASCAR, sometimes college baseball gets overlooked, but this time of the year for baseball is fun. These guys play with a lot of heart, passion, and you have a possibility of having two SEC teams in the championship, and if that happens, we're going to have a lot of mad people. These SEC haters come out. They already can't stand the SEC, but now all of a sudden we could have two in baseball. So I don't know how many of you watch college baseball with their own today at 3 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 12 Pacific time and 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific time.
And let me jump in here really quick. Scorekeeper, are you there?
Oh, yeah, we're all here. We were listening to what Brian was talking about.
I clicked your microphone and I'm clocking, so I just wanted to make sure you were there.
Yeah, we're all in. You know, folks, I'm really a big fan of Roku, and I have to repeat it again. If you guys have Roku or Chromecast, whatever it is, if you download the ESPN app, and there's a reason for this, Brian, if you download the ESPN app and you have your ESPN login ID for the website, you can log in, and you can get ESPN3 on Roku. You can't get all of the events on ESPN3, but you can get a lot of them. And what is on ESPN3 is a lot of college games. And, Brian, I've started to take advantage of that fact where I'm starting to go back and catch the baseball, catch the football. I didn't see the basketball stuff, but I'm taking advantage of that through my Roku player. So I'm listening to what you're talking about, these college stuff, because I can see it now. I don't need ESPN to catch some of the college games. And you can go through your player and watch it live, or up to a week later you can still catch the game. Kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's very neat.
And they got ESPN3 on Watch ESPN as well, just to let you know. And that's on all the time, if I'm not mistaken. Every time I log into it, it's there anyway.
You're right, Sonny. And I've actually seen full baseball games. I've seen full basketball games. But every now and then, the live event that you want on ESPN3 is not always there. So I would say it's not.
Got it.
Right, Wellington, or is Wellington crying BS again?
Yeah, well, Wellington says, now that's some BS.
Well, it's all good. So, folks, we have done the transition. The Couch Potato is now the host. Brian, great job. Now, would you continue with that college stuff that you were talking about? I mean, I caught most of it.
Are you talking to me? Or are you talking to... Wellington's probably going off, and so he's probably had to go to the side. Yeah, the college, that's when people listen. I mean, the football season's when a lot of people are listening. So that's last I heard before we jumped out of there. So, but, you know, as we do it here, at least up on the Couch Potato Sports Show, you know, tonight, are you going to make it tonight, Scorekeeper?
Oh, but of course. As I mentioned this morning, Couch Potato, just before you were on the program, is my exam for, and I'm telling everyone what my exam is for, it's for a Building Permit Technician 1. So I am taking a civil service exam at 8 o'clock this morning. It says the duration of 2 hours, which is not for me. I've never, ever taken the full time. And I have it at 8 o'clock this morning, so I'll tell you. I'll be home by 10.
There you go.
I told my wife that yesterday. She goes, yeah, babe, you know what I mean? It's an exam. They got it scheduled for 2 hours. BS. I'll be home. The exam's
watch
at 8.
Watch take every minute of it.
Oh, I've never taken the full time. So I know that was a bit stuck up. So for those of you that are watching on my Facebook page, you'll know when I get there. I'll even put when I start, and then I will even post it when I end and when I'm home.
There you go. So anyway, what's going on? Everybody's talking about LeBron and where he could land. I even seen some spoof articles about LeBron James landing in L.A., which everybody, you know, people in L.A. saying that's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. So there's a lot of places that have been talked about where LeBron will end up. Will he stay in Miami? Will Pat Riley make him happy and give him more money, you know, and things like that? That's some of the questions that are going on about, you know, one LeBron James. So that being said, if you are sitting here and you are listening, where do you think LeBron James is going to get up? I think Scorekeeper thinks he's going to go back to Cleveland, don't you? Isn't that where you think he's headed?
No. I did say I think it's a little early for him to return to Cleveland, but logic and common sense do not apply to LeBron James. They just do not. So I think everything is open on the table. Look, right now, folks, the reason why the NBA is silent is because you can't talk about the free agents. You can't. And the NBA is really good at uncovering, let me see, nothing. So the league, the teams just don't want to send anything around because they cannot comment. As of July 1st, I believe you can start visiting with teams, but you still can't even sign a contract yet. So stuff isn't going to be getting serious until July 1st. And, Sonny, I don't believe he's going to go to New York. You know why? Because the general manager actually likes results. And I don't think LeBron will fit in with the guru right there with the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't know. You know, I have to admit, I have no idea what this guy's thinking. But then again, I didn't have any idea of what he was thinking when he went to Miami. So, right before the big announcement, I guess you can say, it was all about where will LeBron go. That's when Miami started to be talking about, like, maybe it was like a week before, because Riley was getting in there letting people know he was going after him. that being said, and then they were talking about the big three, how they were going to put it together, you know, with salary and everything. Now, that's a big thing now this year when they think about whether or not they're going to keep them is, you know, now money. They're not – I don't think all three of them are willing to – I think Chris Bosh would take a pay cut. But Dwayne Wade isn't. Dwayne Wade is in the twilight of his career, and he wants to make every penny of what he's supposed to make within his contract. And so that's going to be a real – I think it's going to be a real big thing when it comes to this off season. And it's going to be the same thing like it was, you know, a couple of years ago when he decides to make a decision. Hopefully he just goes ahead and just lets the press know and then just be done with it instead of going through some great big, you know, deal production and having people talk about. I mean, the decision of where you're going takes it's a 10-second statement followed by questions.
You know, Brian, if Dwayne Wade were to leave, as people suggest, this man is going to leave $42 million guaranteed over the next 2 years.
He ain't going nowhere.
You know how old he is. Yeah,
he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, and that's not a shot against Dwayne Wade. His numbers are good, but they're on the decline.
Yep. If you told me I could work at this company I'm at for $42 million guaranteed the next 2 years, or I can go over here and take a chance on making less money, I'm like, are you crazy? I'm staying here for 2 years. I'm almost going to retire. I'm beat down. I'm worn down. I'm going to get all I can now while I still can. So definitely, you guys are right. He's not taking any kind of pay cut.
No. And why should he? Yeah, and why should he? I mean, you think about it. Scorekeeper said it. His numbers are there. They may be on the decline, but now this is going to be up to find out whether or not LeBron James will go ahead and take the pay cut, because Dwayne Wade isn't. And LeBron James needs a pay cut like he needs a hole in the head. Everybody talks about how he is the best player on the planet, so guess what? Since he's the best player on the planet, he should be paid like the best player on the planet. And Chris Bosh he'll take the pay cut, I'm sure. But it's about the, you know, once you got all your money vested in two guys, the play on the floor, as far as Miami is concerned, unless they pick up somebody in the draft that is going to be really, really good for that team, you know, I'm not expecting a lot for the Heat. I'm expecting what I saw in the playoffs and in the championship game from them.
You know, Sonny and Brian, I'm going to direct this to both of you guys. Scorekeeper over here believes that even with the issues that Miami has, I mean, guys, they have four consecutive championship appearances.
Yep.
No one has done that in a while. Very few teams. I think they're only the third team in the history. And while their numbers are down, guys, they sailed through the season. I'm sorry, NBA. Look at your own numbers. They
Absolutely.
Sailed through the season. And I don't believe LeBron is going to take a pay cut. I think he's going to get max money, so it's done. And Dwayne, hey, he's got his money, and he's not going to change it unless, I mean, I could see him losing maybe a million or two, because I think Dwayne Wade is that kind of a guy. I mean, that much is not, in doubt. He might actually take a tiny pay cut. But let's look at Bosh. A year ago, guy was still putting up impressive numbers. What did he do this year, guys? Chris Bosh is the question. Is he going to stay? Is he going to be offered the same amount of money? Or is he going to be offered to come back for less, and then they bring the proverbial Carmelo Anthony over? Is that possible? Do you guys see that happening?
I don't necessarily see Melo there. I really don't. I think that's going to be too much drama. They've got enough drama going on right there, as far as that is concerned. By the way, just to let you know, 2013, okay, Chris Bosh's salary was $17.54 million. So this guy is definitely making some money. LeBron James was making 19, and Dwayne Wade was making 18.6. Okay, that's 2013 into the 2014 season. There's a lot of money wrapped up in three players, and Chris Bosh will take the play. Hey, listen, $17 million, Chris Bosh only needs to drop $5 million. He's still making $12 million. That'll break $5 million in LeBron James's pocket to keep him there, and then it's all about trying to find somebody else and it's to bring him in up underneath the salary that they've got to do. I'm not sure what the salary cap is, or they could take that $5 million and give it to Melo. So I expect Chris Bosh to take at least a $5 million. Hey, if not a $7.54 million pay cut to stay there for $10 million. His numbers were pedestrian this year. He just followed the lead of the big two because, really, Bosh is nothing there. Now, granted, he came in on that game where they got the only victory in the playoffs. He showed up that game. And here's the thing. There's not going to be a lot asked for him. So the fact that he goes down to a $10 million salary, that is no great big deal. And putting that up in comparison to some of the other players in the NBA, as far as salary is concerned anyway, Kobe Bryant makes $30 million, okay? So
that's absurd.
Yeah, it's absurd, but you know that's a lot of payback. That's a lot of payback when he wasn't making a lot. Miami, as far as LeBron James, 1967. So I was incorrect up on the salaries. That was 2013. This is the 2014 season. They made $19 million. So, I mean, if you're Chris Bosh, I think you're willing to take a $9 million hit. Or if you do get the offer someplace else, you got to make that decision. Will the difference between $19 million and $15 million be a reason why you leave a potential championship team? They have the number 8, 9, and 10 pay scale up on the top 10. They got 8, 9, and 10. All of them make the same amount of money, too.
Sonny, I'm actually logging out now. I'm going to go get ready, and I'm going to go. But I want to throw this out to Brian, and I'll get back in with the program in a moment. Aren't the Heat like multiple consecutive year offenders now? So every dollar over the whatever it is, the limit, it's like two and a half. The luxury tax, thank you. It's either it's either 2.5 or 3.5. You're talking some serious money at that point. What do you
think? You're right. I think you are correct on that. And guys, one thing about Dwayne Wade, he's not a number two anymore. He's not a number one anymore. So paying him that money is just pissing it away. Bosh ought to realize he's not going to win a championship as long as Dwayne Wade's back on that team. So he's got his rings. He's not going to take a pay cut, guys, $5 million to stay on a team that's not going to win it anyway. He's going to go get his and be the number one. Dwayne Wade's going to play the last 2 years and be done in Miami as well. LeBron's going to go somewhere else as well. Miami's done.
I think Miami is done. I think I agree with you. But then you got to ask yourself that question. Who's going to offer Chris Bosh to play for $15 million? I can't think of any team that will go there and attack and say, oh, yeah, Chris Bosh, he's that final jigsaw puzzle piece that fits right in and makes our picture look so much better. I just don't see that in a Chris Bosh. I mean, maybe it's me. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Tarvin? Is this guy that guy that you could depend on to be the guy in a franchise in the NBA?
Well, I think what hurt Chris Bosh the most was going to play with players like Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, where he's overshadowed. Where in Toronto, he was the man. He was the number one. He got his attention. He got his contract back to Miami. I think the problem is now you look at Chris Bosh and you're like, I can get somebody else. That's the thing. He's not that good, guys. I mean, he can shoot the three, okay. He shot a ton of those this year. But unless he's got somebody great with him, it's not going to really matter. So, Sonny, I don't think anybody's going to pay a high price tag, probably more than Miami would pay. So he may stay in Miami.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at as far as that is concerned. But you're right. The question will be about the luxury tax. So the Heat signed Chris Anderson on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. No, mark that. He's still part of the team. But last year, I'm looking at this article. Last year, the luxury tax threshold for this season was $71.75 million, meaning the Heat are well into the luxury tax this year. So that will cost the team an extra $33 million if they keep the roster the same this year. So if they keep the roster and go over the luxury tax, it's going to cost them another $33 million. And so the question will be, and Pat Riley doesn't have a problem with that, if the results are that you get to the championship game, the $33 million scorekeeper is a drop in the bucket. And let me see, we might have lost him until he calls back in. We did. So
that's,
you know,
a lot,
Carvino,
of money, Sonny. That's a lot of money.
But when you're talking about four times, like the scorekeeper said, four times into the championship game, and guess what? You're there. Four times. It cost you, now granted, in the last two seasons, it cost you $66 million, but you got to weigh the option. What were the Heat in reality before they brought in Bosch and before they brought in LeBron? Was it worth the $66 million to go to the championship game for the last 4 years? I say, yeah, you got to drop that baby right in the bucket in reality.
You're right. There is a price. If you want to be, you want to save money and suck and maybe get a 7 or 8 seed and get exited the first round, or do you want to pay to win championships? And that's what Pat Riley did. He went out and assembled a team he thought could win, and damn, they did a lot better than I ever thought they could do. And
he's the
four
master
straight
of that.
Championships.
Look what
that's
he did
amazing,
in L.A.
Though.
Yeah, look what he did in L.A. I mean, you think about who the Lakers were, okay? They had the best players in the NBA. They had the highest salary, the highest salary of any NBA team. Guess what? It just really gave birth to Showtime, and not only that, they were not just in the championship run for only 4 years. They were in the championship run for around, you know, 7 to 8 years, and always people were talking about LA being in the championship game. And there's another thing. When you can sell out a stadium, okay, and they do. They sell out that stadium each and every night that the games are right there in South Beach. So when you're selling out every single game, when you make it to the playoffs, when you make it to the championship, every year that they brought LeBron James, let's be honest, when they made it to the finals, the first year that LeBron James was there, no one was expecting the Heat to do that within the first year. Okay, if they're honest with it, you got to figure out and develop chemistry. That's what people were saying, and that's what I was saying. I expected them to make the playoffs, but make the championship game? No, not even close. But guess what? They figured out the chemistry almost immediately. They hit the finals 4 years in a row, sailed through the regular season, because let's be honest, they didn't have to be as good as they were even still to be into the championship games. They could have lost 10 to 15 more games in the regular season and still been the same team that was in the championship games. They would have made the championship games regardless. So, you know, I think Pat Riley he's one of those masterminds that puts it together, and he puts it together well, and wherever Pat Riley goes, there's success that follows it. So there's something about what Pat Riley's thinking is all about that says, you know what, I'll get it there. Just let me put up the sail. Let the wind come. I know when the wind's coming. Let me figure out which way to turn it, and we'll sail right into the finals, and that's what he's done.
And if you look at Miami right now, Sonny, could you imagine – no LeBron James next year. How many fans are going to come to the games after they experienced the highest of highs? They had the best player in basketball, the just the best ever almost. I mean, he could be compared to some as one of the best of all time, and now you're going to go back to mediocrity again. That's what you have to look at if you're Pat Riley.
I mean, at least I know this. Every night on SportsCenter, even though I don't follow the NBA much, always LeBron James is somewhere to be found in that. So if you lose that off your team, it's going somewhere else, and now all of a sudden the jersey sales, memorabilia, all of that stuff, your tickets, your beer, all this stuff's going to go away. So if you're Pat Riley, don't you have to just open the bank account to LeBron James, even if it means you have to get rid of Wade and Bosch to do so? You have to keep LeBron in Miami if you're Riley. There's no other choice.
If they expect, like you said, if they expect the full stadium, if they expect the concessions, they accept the beer and all the memorabilia that is being brought, you lose your main guy. That's what, and I'm telling you right now, LeBron James, if you were going to sit here and say, LeBron, you need to stay right here in Miami, what you've got to commit to LeBron James is at least $25 million. Sorry, he has to at least be the second best, highest paid player in the NBA, and now go over Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki is number two at $22 million. Okay, talk about an overrated, overpaid for pedestrian. I'm sorry, people think Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest thing to come along since Fruit Punch. He's not worth $22 million, but guess what? Miami is or Dallas has fallen into the same thing that a lot of teams are falling now. Well, what are we going to do? He's under contract. No one's going to take this guy at $22 million. We are stuck with him. We got to make the best of it. So why? Mm-hmm. They're going to go out. They're going to try to get love. And here's what I'm telling you right now. I expect the Dallas Mavericks to get love. Sorry. And if they don't get love, they're going to find themselves, they couldn't get the number ones for the last 2 years. They saved up a lot of money so they can offer some incredible money in order to bring the big superstars there, whether it was the big guy that went down to Houston or, the time before that, the point guard that was big. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head. But they missed out on the last 2 years up on the big free agents. This year, Love is that free agent. If they go 0-3, the Dallas Mavericks are going to have to just start over and try to figure out how you're going to – and you're going to have to try to develop a player to become the superstar on that basketball team.
Yeah, if you know what, I'll be honest, honey. I wouldn't – if you told me you can have Kobe and Nowitzki or take LeBron, I'd take LeBron. I just don't see how these teams got trapped into those contracts like that. Kobe Bryant's not worth $12 million a year right now. He's at the end of his career. He's hurt. Even if he does come back, he's still, 38 years old or something.
Yep.
He's not going to be the same. And the NFL has it right, Sonny. The NFL can take advantage of these players. You think they're superstars and all this. Next thing you know, they're bagging groceries. The NFL don't give a damn about what you've done in the past. They're going to pay you for what you've done, what you're going to do now in the next few years. The NBA really disappointed me with this Kobe Bryant deal. The Lakers have just sunk their team, and now Dirk making this much. If I'm LeBron, Sonny, I'm demanding to be the number one paid player in the NBA because you know why? I've earned it, and I'm worth that right now. These other guys are has-been.
No one's going to pay him $30 million, though. I mean, you think about it? I mean, I don't even think the Heat are going to pay $30 million for him. I think, like I said, I think he gets 25. I think he becomes the second best, the second biggest paid player in the NBA. But I don't see a $30 million payday in LeBron James unless there's some kind of finagling going on with his salary that he will end up getting it, within some time, sort of like what they're doing with Kobe. But let's be honest, Kobe Bryant making $30 million, that guy was underpaid for many, many years. So,
true.
I mean, really in reality, with Kobe Bryant making $30 million, it's just payback for all the years of service that he did. And let's be honest, they had to. They didn't have a choice. Kobe Bryant going to a different basketball team would almost be blasphemy. I mean, in reality, you think about it. I mean, could you imagine Kobe Bryant in a different uniform? I can't.
No, I can't. But you know what? Kobe, what he did was sacrifice money for titles and making sure he had enough people around him to win championships. If you notice, the longer he went in his career, the more he wants his money back. You're right. I've never heard it put that way, but but the Lakers are paying him back for being an unselfish person when it came to getting the right people around him, paying him less to make sure he can win his rings. He's got his rings. I don't think he really cares about another one, but you can damn
right.
well be sure that he's going to get paid now. So I don't think Kobe cares about winning championships right now. So.
No, he's not. And that goes back, and let's go back to even to, and I got it right in front of me, the 2011-2012 season, he was making $25 million. Okay, $25 million bucks, and then that's 2011-2012. When you go to the 2012-2013, I really don't understand why everybody's so upset about his contract, because he was making $30 million in 2012-2013. Okay, when he didn't, and then I think they're upset because he's making the same amount of money, but he didn't put any time out on the court. That's why people are upset. Well, I'm telling you, if the guy goes and he gets injured, okay, if you're going to have a good Kobe, I'm telling you right now, the Lakers spent a great $30 million bucks, and you give Kobe, get him off his legs. You know, get him off his legs, let him be refreshed. During the regular season next year, don't kill Kobe. Put Kobe, there's no need to kill Kobe Bryant. I mean, you're playing a 60-minute game. Put him in for 40. Give him a 20-minute break during regular times. I mean, if you think about it, if the Lakers are any good, they're going to make the playoffs. If you think for one second that the Lakers not making the playoffs last year is not sitting well with the Lakers, you don't know the Lakers. You don't know the legacy. You don't know the ownership. Straight out, they're not going to put up with that. In the Lakers' mind, they have to be in the playoffs. So in reality, the Lakers took the hit in the stomach and said, Kobe, rest. Get 100%. So not only that, he's going to be 100% when he walks back out on the court. Number two, he's going to be fresh-legged and ready to go, okay? Let's be honest. There ain't going to be anybody more fresh than Kobe Bryant. But will that age catch up to him is going to be the big one. But I think if you rest Kobe Bryant and you put him in for around in between 35 and 40 minutes a game instead of putting him in for this ungodly 48 minutes that he has no business being in there for, the Lakers will put themselves in a better position come playoff time when they have to put him in for that 48 minutes in order for him to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, you saw LeBron, and he's younger than Kobe, of course, but he's
yep.
getting on up there out year by year. They wore him down. The problem with Miami this year, they didn't rest LeBron enough. They rested some other people, but the main player on their team was playing 40, 42 minutes a game, easy, and that's every night. It didn't matter what game it was. But Kobe, Sonny, I think age is finally going to get there, taking that year
off. I think you're right.
I know he's going to be fresh. I know his legs will be there, but my God, that injury he had to come back in the NBA, and believe it or not, the NBA's changed since he left, and that's weird to
yes.
say. He's only been gone a year, but when he comes back, the players are going to look better, faster, stronger, and they are. And
right.
I don't know how Kobe's going to do, but I think the Lakers could miss the playoffs again, Sonny.
17 years, so next year will be 18 years in the NBA. Okay, we're talking, to me, it seems like this was yesterday that he was walking out of the high school and they were televising his high school games. That's where it first started. It started with Kobe and then it went to LeBron. Okay, once you have ESPN and cameras in high school gymnasiums, guess what? You're set for life. I'm telling you, if they're there for you. So when you look at Kobe, here's another thing. That injury he's coming off of, no one's come back from that injury well. So, but if there's anybody that could possibly do it, and that also goes with the straight out fact that it could be Dirk Nowitzki, Stoudemire, he can't come back from Jack, Joe Johnson, maybe Joe Johnson could come back from it. I don't know. But you're talking about an injury where when players get that injury, they have never come back the same. So that's another thing the Lakers are gambling on. They're gambling on Kobe Bryant being able to defy those odds of that injury and come back and be the guy. I agree with you. I don't see Kobe Bryant being the guy. And if the Lakers think he's going to be the guy, that's going to be a problem. The Lakers need to get out in free agency. They need to find someone around that $11, $12 million payday. You know, Darren Williams was the one that the Dallas Mavericks were trying to get, but he went to New York. Mm-hmm. But you watch. Zach Randolph, an overrated power forward who makes pretty good money. He makes $18 million. That guy could end up over there. Depending upon how mad Blake Griffin is, could you imagine Blake Griffin in a Laker uniform? Paul Pierce, he's another old guy. So guess what? I think old guys got an opportunity to go play with Kobe, you know, but the question is how much will be in the gas? I think the Lakers have got to go young, and I think they need to figure out a way to get the young guys like the Chris Pauls or the Darren Williams or, you know, somebody like that in order to be able to let Kobe, in using the wrestling term here, Tarvino, put someone over in reality. All right, so someone else could take the limelight and let Kobe Bryant just go ahead and go in the sunset, making all of his millions of dollars, and thank him for him on the way out the door and boot him out as soon as you can.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Kobe missing last year, Sonny. It gave these younger players and all it required them to step up and try to survive. These guys know what it's like to play without Kobe, and they've developed, they've matured, they've gotten better. Now you add a Kobe Bryant that maybe take a different kind of approach to how he plays with this team. He could just be kind of the moderator out there. He lets these other guys do it and gets them involved. The Lakers could be dangerous, but it doesn't require Kobe coming back and putting up 40 a night. That's what's gonna hurt the Lakers. But I think if you give these guys a chance that played last year to step in with Kobe, and if he doesn't screw it up with his ego, the Lakers could be dangerous with the same team they have right now.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. By the way, just to let everybody know, there are 57 players in the NBA that make more than $10 million. And if you follow the NBA, you know every single one of them. And I don't follow the NBA religiously, but I know every single one of them. So you got 57 players in the NBA making $10 million or more. You got a couple that are just on the outside within a half a million of 10 million. So you think about all these guys, and you've heard of those guys too. It's when you got to find that diamond in the rough, right? I mean, you think about it. You got to find those young boys that will come down, and they, you know, as far as their salary are concerned, I think you look 75 to 100. Someone between 75 to 100, one of these young cats that are out there, are gonna step up, and they're gonna be the superstar. And it's gonna be up to the Heat. It's gonna be up to the Lakers to find that guy within that price range where you can keep him on a little bit, you know, longer. Pay him about $10 million so you can keep Kobe happy. And same thing with LeBron James. You got to find those young guys. Now, will that actually happen? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of young NBA players right now that can take that step up. But it's going to take a LeBron, or in the Heat's case, a Dwayne Wade or a Chris Bosh, to step to the side to let him ease in there. And obviously in L.A., it's going to take a Kobe Bryant to take the step to the side a little bit in order to bring limelight on someone else so they can continue what the Lakers are.
Hey, Sonny, can I talk about, I know you said this earlier, I think I was on mute with Wells, but Carmelo Anthony, the rumor going to the Heat. Do you understand what a disaster that would be if Carmelo was with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron? Do you think four egos that big could exist on one team? Three's the max, Sonny. I heard Colin Cowherd say this. You put four egos like that together, it's going to be a crash and burn for Miami. Do you think they have the balls to try to gamble like that, or do you think they should gamble like that?
Well, I'm not a Carmelo Anthony fan. Never have, never will be. Okay, that's just simple. The guy's a punk. I don't like him. He's a punk. He's not a thug. He's a punk. Okay, and when I think about a Carmelo Anthony, what I think about, never mind the fact that he's a punk, and you can take that completely out of the equation. Okay, the guy is pedestrian. He's making $20 million, and this guy hasn't done jack crap anywhere he's been. Anywhere. How many rings does Carmelo Anthony have?
Zero.
And when I think Carmelo Anthony, I think pedestrian. I think crybaby. I think every time he holds the basketball and he drives to the basket, he thinks he gets fouled. I think an overrated and just a guy that thinks that he deserves everything when it comes to accolades and everything else, and that guy hasn't done anything for any basketball team he's ever played for to step up and say, oh yeah, this guy. Now, this guy already makes $20 million, okay? And this guy will not. Hey, Carmelo Anthony knows he can get $20 million from any team in the NBA right now, okay? If he goes down to South Beach, that guy's going to demand at least $5 to $7 million more, okay? Because of why? He can make he can make $20 million on any team. So why not press someone to overpay for you when he can be on any team? And I think this guy, and that's the difference between Carmelo Anthony and a LeBron James and a Dwayne Wade and a Kobe Bryant. This guy don't care if he wins it. Why? This guy's all about the money, and he's only 10 years in.
Yeah, he's the laziest player, superstar.
Absolutely.
That superstar label that I ever saw. And if you put him in Miami, he's not going to add any value to the defense. He's just going to take shots away from LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Bosh, and now you're going to have egos fighting each other. But I wouldn't pay $5 million for this bum. I mean, that's what I think he is. He's a bum. That's all he is.
Listen, that guy started in 2003 with the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Nuggets were a good basketball team in 2005, 2006, 2007, okay? He didn't get the job done during that time, all right? That's just straight out. Okay, and then they could have rolled with what they were doing in 2008, 2009, 2010 before he went over to the New York Knicks. Now, that having been said, when you know, as far as rolling with the Carmelo Anthony and you're the Heat, not only will he start going and taking those shots, this guy's a defensive liability, okay? And the legs that are on the Heat, they can't afford it. I know, and that means someone getting back, someone hustling to get back. Do you think Dwayne Wade's going to be busting his ass to get back down the court anymore? No. You think LeBron James will? No. I'm telling you right now, there was that you know, what was it, the cramping or whatever the case may be. I think that right, I'm not saying the guy should have ran down the court, okay? But I'm telling you, when this guy wants and thinks he can take a break, he will. I'm telling you right now. During the heydays, okay, and I go back. You go back to Bird, you go back to Jordan, you go back to Karl Malone, you go back to Stockton, you go back to all these names, okay. You never not seen them get back up on defense. Today's NBA is so lazy, and I think that's the difference. Today's NBA is so lazy that getting back up on defense is not a priority because why? They make their money because of what they do offensively, not what they do defensively.
Yeah, if you watch the All-Star game, Sonny, you can see when it was like 200 to 200 in the third period, I mean,
yeah.
You realize that the only people that play defense are people that are trying to make names for themselves and to earn that contract. It has nothing to do with these divas. They're out there just shooting the ball and seeing how many points they can score, how pretty their dunks are. They could care less about playing defense. San Antonio actually D'd it up in the finals when they had to, but if you look at the regular season, they didn't try to play too much defense.
Well, they didn't have to. I mean, they're the best team in the NBA. They've been, and I'll put it out there, the Spurs have been the best team in the NBA for the last 3 years. There's just no question. And if you question that, you're a LeBron lover. I'm sorry. You got to be able to put the fact that you have the best player on the team along with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and the Spurs have been the best team for the – I'll even put it out there for the last 4 years. You look at the regular season for the last 4 years, okay, the Spurs have been it. Now, granted, sometimes they didn't get over the hump, okay, but – this year compared to last year, they figured it out that maybe one or two extra passes, even three or four extra passes, will wear down a defense and they will find the open man. And not only that, no one on the Spurs cares who takes the shot. And you don't get that with a Carmelo Anthony. You don't get that with a LeBron James. You don't get that with a Dwayne Wade. Chris Bosh can care less. I'm sorry. He don't care. He's made his millions for the last 3 years. That Chris Bosh is set for the rest of his life. This guy does not care anymore. He's got the two championship rings. Okay, so Chris Bosh will be happy to take the Heat's money at $15 million or more. He'll take a $5 million pay cut and stay right there because he doesn't want to go anywhere. I think Chris Bosh wants to stay right there in Miami, even if a LeBron James leaves. And that's another big question that you have to ask yourself. If LeBron James leaves the Heat, guess whose value has just went up, already making $19 million. The value of a Chris Bosh, it just magnifies about maybe $4 or $5 million instead of making $20 million or close to $19 million this year. Okay, he's going to make $24 to $25 million next year.
I think you're right on that. If they lose LeBron, Bosh doesn't want to go anywhere. He'll be the number one guy. You can't really depend on Wade to be the number one anymore. So I think you're right. Regardless, Chris Bosh stays in Miami because, like you said, nobody's going to pay for him outside of Miami.
Yep, and Miami won't have a choice. They'll be put in that position where they'll have to overpay. Hey, look, all you have to do, okay, if you want to talk about overpay, all you got to do is look at the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn and the Brooklyn Nets. Amari Stoudemire making $21 million is – it is such an injustice to a Sean Marion, okay, who used to be on the Phoenix Suns with him. And when they got rid of Sean Marion, you know, they should have got rid of Amari Stoudemire. That's just a personal opinion. I've watched that whole situation bail out. How Amari Stoudemire is making $21.6 million is a joke. Joe Johnson has got a lot of talent, but 21.4, no. He's not that A-plus player. He's just not. But when he was with the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks were like the Dallas Mavericks with the Dirk Nowitzki. Who else are you going to get? You got to overpay to get the guy, and they did. So, and they got their paydays, and they got the guaranteed, and that's what ended up happening. Joe Johnson is on the last year of his deal, Amari Stoudemire on his deal. Their salaries should tumble, you would think, but that just means Carmelo Anthony will just slide in and get paid the extra that Amari Stoudemire would pay if he panned out in New York. I'm telling you right now. Yeah, there's a few guys in the NBA that are just overrated for the money. Dirk Nowitzki, I'll put it out there. Even though he's not the best, sometimes he's not even the best player on his team. He's worth his money in Dallas, okay? But that's Dallas. Anywhere else, he's not worth that money. But Amari Stoudemire making $20 million is the biggest injustice in the NBA. Guy's injury prone. He's never out on the basketball court. So that and Zach Randolph. You want to talk about a guy that took a playoff run with the Grizzlies a couple years ago and panned it out to $18 million. This guy's making $18 million a year. It's unbelievable. And Zach Randolph is older than Dirt, and he's making that money. And guess what? He's got one more year at $18 million. So for 3 years, this guy came close to popping $60 million for a one-time performance in the playoffs that got him paid. Hey, if you can do it, you can do it well.
Well, he seems like to me to be a consistent player. He's big, physical down low, and you saw how bad Memphis struggled when he was out that game 7 against OKC,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
He's not worth that kind of money, but he's a very good player, though.
Well, that's how he became that number one. They realize when this guy is not in the lineup, they're in trouble. And Marc Gasol is not the guy that's going to be able to step up. Marc Gasol is the same player as his brother Paul Gasol, okay? He's the same guy, okay? When there's certain players in the lineup, you don't get the production from a Paul Gasol. Same thing with his brother. Okay, and when Zach Randolph is in the lineup, okay, when Marc Gasol, even though he is the center, he is the guy, okay, He just doesn't play as well. There's certain guys that don't play with well with certain players. And Paul and the Gasols, both of them are that guy. But even Mark Gasol's making $14 million. I mean, and everybody tells me, Sonny, you know, you look at salary too much. No. The way you judge your franchise is by that salary, okay? If you're the Phoenix Suns, you want to know. I mean, I am looking, just to let you know, I am looking in the salary, and the Phoenix Suns are not even in the top 20 of paying players, okay? They're paying Okafor $14.4 million at number 24, okay? One thing in common when you look at the top 10, okay, and I'm going to say top 13, okay, because you got three of them sitting at number 8, okay, and that's the Miami Heat. But you talk about teams that are on the cusp or have won the championship within the last, you know, 5 to 6 years. The rest of them, after you fall out of that, are teams that are on the cusp and ready to go. And Kevin Durant making $17 million, watch this guy, watch his salary take a jump too, because Oklahoma City is close to, they're going to have to renegotiate his contract, because I think his contract's up at the end of next season. So listen for the talks for Kevin Durant.
That's weird. Randolph makes more money than Durant.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. That guy took one playoff, not the whole, just one playoff series, not the playoffs in general, but one playoff series, okay, and made his money. And hey, good for him. And I'm like the scorekeeper. You know, if you got the money, you did it, and you earned, you know, you basically earned it. You fool. I mean, you convinced someone to pay you. And that's what ended up happening with Zach Randolph. When you look at Kevin Durant, I'm trying to find Kevin Durant's contract, you know, his update. But this is his sixth year. Like I said, I think Durant is in a contract year. So Oklahoma City is either going to have to do one of two things. They're going to have to make the decision to say, well, he is going to be our guy. And they're going to have to renegotiate a contract to keep him. I'm looking at right now his contract. Mark that. I am incorrect. He becomes a free agent not after this year, this upcoming year, but it's after that one. And he's making $21 million. Next season, Durant's going to make $19.9 million. You know, so it might as well be $20 million. And then he's going to make $22 million the next year after that. But here's one thing that they're going to have to make a decision on with Kevin Durant. You got to ask yourself, that's going to be 8 years into the NBA. Let's be honest. A lot of players hit their prime at 6, 7, 8, and 9. That's going to be a decision Oklahoma City is going to have to make. Do you keep a Kevin Durant? And I'm going to tell you, if Kevin Durant does not at least get him back to the championship game within these next 2 years, it's going to have an effect upon how much money he's going to make.
I say you trade him now. If you want to keep Westbrook, Sonny, you trade, get you two valuable players that could come in, step in, get you some draft pick, something. Leave Westbrook alone. You got to keep one of them, and I say you keep Westbrook, and you go out and build a team around him. I think you'll get a championship that way more than you will hanging on to him until it's too late. Get something now for him. So many teams screw up, Sonny, and they don't get the value out of these guys the way they're supposed to.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, and keep point guards are just hard to find, right? I mean, really, when you think about it, point guards are probably – now, granted, centers are impossible to find. But a lot of teams utilize the power forward. Look at Dirk Nowitzki. Look at Amari Stoudemire. You know, those kind of guys. LeBron James, you know, they're the power forward guys, you know. So they're utilizing more of a power forward more so than a center. So, and most teams do it unless they have the center. That being said, the hardest other position to get is a point guard that can play. And as much as I don't like Michael Westbrook, I think I'm in complete agreement as far as a franchise is concerned. I love Kevin Durant, but Russell Westbrook is 5 years into the season, 1 year less than Kevin Durant. This guy, if he normally stays healthy, that injury that he took, I think, was a purpose in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Someone was trying to hurt him, I think, and that's because he had a big mouth. The guy relatively stays healthy. He averages 21 points a game. I mean, you know,
he's better than Durant.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and that's going to be. But here's the thing: no one's going to think that's the right move because it's hard to find a good big guy. And when you look at Kevin Durant and what he does bring to the table, now, say what you want. Kevin Durant averages 32 points a game in the regular season. It's the playoffs where Kevin Durant gets outshined. And when someone – there was a reporter that wrote a article on Kevin Durant, and it caused a lot of stir. But really, Kevin Durant, he almost disappears in the playoffs. And if you're Oklahoma City, you have to find the guys that are going to step up and be the guy – and be the one. And as much as I hate Westbrook, I think he turns into that player in the playoffs that you can depend on. And that's the difference. We were remember a couple months ago when we were talking up either on this show or my show, it's the guys that want the ball in the playoffs instead of dishing the ball. And you can say Westbrook is the biggest ball hog in the NBA, but guess what? There's a reason why this guy thinks he has to do it. Not because he has an ego, even though he does, but Kevin Durant seems to fade off into the shadows when it comes to playoff time or big-time moments in games. And that's why Westbrook is, I think, the way that he is. Now, does he have an ego? Yes. There's not even a question there. But you have to ask yourself, are you going to give up 10 points a night and have a point guard? And they could go out and get someone. They can go out and get someone and pay a lot less. And I think they get the same. They almost get the same kind of guy in reality and pay a lot less. And then you got a stud point guard. And I think they just need to go that route. I agree with you.
Well, Sonny, I think you take Durant out of the equation, and Westbrook knows he's the leader. There's no controversy there. He'll make up the difference of those points you're losing
tonight
from Durant. And you know what? The way he attacks that rim, that fearless, he gets other people involved. People don't know that. He does have a lot of assists, too, but the problem is Durant's not a strong enough leader to take over that team. So now you have the fans and the coach and the players, they're all confused. You put Kobe with somebody like Russell Westbrook, I think you would see a big improvement too back in his prime. But Durant just doesn't have the stones enough to take over a game. Westbrook does. And you get Durant out of the picture, Sonny, Westbrook would change that whole team, and they'd probably win the championship with what they could get for Durant the next year.
Interestingly enough, that's where it ends up. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but when I look at those kind of things and I talk NBA, you know, everybody's talking about when and if Kevin Durant will take that next step to be the superstar. I think he's capable, but he's not in a role where he has to. And when you think about the greats, at some point they have to do it. You know, whether it be because of lack of players that are out on the court or, you know, a couple of other things, you know, making that difference. I have to ask myself, when I look at, you know, when I look at the greats, what was the thing that usually made them step up? And I'm going to make the statement and I'm going to listen to you, but because I got to run, I'm still going to be on the air, but I'll listen to your response, but take over for like 2 minutes. But you know, when you think of those greats and where they ended up, let me see if Scorekeeper has made it back yet. No, he hasn't made it back yet. So I'm going to ask you to take it. But when you think about the greats, is it me or there were just certain times where they actually had to make that step and that's the reason why they ended up being the superstars that we know of right about now?
I'll just talk, there's one player I can just tell you about, or two. I'll tell you about Michael Jordan. Everybody knows, everybody tries to compare LeBron, everybody, to Jordan. But Jordan, he would take over a game when it was time. He'd give you a chance to work yourself into the game, see if you can get in any kind of rhythm to get yours. But when the game was on the line in the fourth period, no matter when it was, Jordan would take the game over. And he didn't care about who was on his team. Give him the damn ball, and he's going to put it in the hole. And another player that I look at like that, that separated themselves, that nobody talks about, was Isaiah Thomas. This guy could take over a basketball game, but nobody ever really talked about him because, you know, if they had a good team, they had the Lane Beers. They had some big – they were called the Nasty Boys, I believe, for a reason. But Isaiah Thomas could separate himself and take over a game in the fourth, and we saw it time and time again. So if you're going to be the great, you're going to be the best, you've got to know how to take a game over. I think Westbrook knows how to do that, get Durant out of the way. You're going to see him go up into a top two or three role in the NBA alone. Durant doesn't have that. LeBron, to me – he didn't have it early in his career, but he started getting it as he got older, more of a killer attitude. But you know what?
Yes,
I just don't think that. I don't think that fits his personality, Sonny. I think there's a conflict there. I don't think he likes doing that. And I think when he tries, even though he's successful sometimes, he doesn't look comfortable. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I think that's it's a huge thing. There's something to be said about body language, especially on NBA players. And whether or not they can handle the heat and whether or not they can step up to the plate at that time. Sir Cuervo has checked in, he puts in there, he says, no killer instinct in today's players, and he's absolutely right. I mean, listen, Larry Bird. Okay, I'm gonna go to the white boy, okay? All right, Larry Bird, all right, he was not intimidated by anybody. And the most awkward white boy you'll ever see play the game, one of the greatest. And this guy just, you know, he hated Michael Jordan out on the basketball court. He didn't give a crap who Michael Jordan was. What he wanted to do is he wanted to stick it to Michael Jordan. He wanted to stick it to every single guy that were considered the man in the game, okay? And he stepped up and said, you're not going to do it on me. And I just don't think of today's NBA player that says, well, if you expect to win basketball games and win championships, you're going to have to go through me. There's not one player in the NBA I think thinks that way, except one. And the guy didn't even play, what did he play, three games last year? You know, Kobe Bryant is the only one that says, listen, if you're going to win a championship, you're going around me. And he demands that from everybody on his team. If that's the reason why people don't like Kobe Bryant, that's the reason why, because the NBA has grown soft over the past 10 to 15 years, and the salaries have kept going up. That's the reason why we don't see good defense. That's the reason why we don't see good hard fouls. Oh, you don't want to hard foul LeBron James, you know? Oh my God, that's why I say, and I've said this many times, and I watch basketball obviously because we do a sports show. I'm going to tell you right now, I would not, if I did not do a sports show, I would not watch the NBA. There are literally five players in the NBA that are worth my time. Five out of the 1,000 or so that's in, you know, well, no, there's 15 players on 32 games or 32 teams. So that being said, you know, you're talking about 150 to 250 people. There's only five that are really worth watching and score. Wait. I recognize something because normally I don't recognize telephone numbers very well. But
Cuervo,
as much as he's been on the show,
oh, you didn't know.
And much
your
as he's called in,
call somebody.
Each and every week it is Cuervo. How you doing, Cuervo, my friend?
What's going on, guys? I'm feeling good. Just came back from a nice jog, so I'm feeling pretty good. How are you guys this morning?
Doing good. Wonderful. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. I would do another show, but I got a lot of things on my plate today. But, I mean, are you like me? Are you like, if you were not doing sports programs, you probably, well, you might watch the NBA. But I don't know if you're in agreement with me, but there's only really five players worth watching in the NBA today.
I would, and that's stretching it, Sonny. I would go with more like three.
I'd say three.
Yeah, I'd say three. So, but no, I mean you're right. I mean, just I don't even want to say it's watered down. It's just the quality. The game has changed a lot, and you know, I heard you guys talking about, you know, how it's changed as far as players no longer think about, well, you got to go through me to become champion. This
yep.
is the problem that I foresee, okay? And I've been listening to shows all week. You know, I listen to Mike and Mike. I listen to Colin on my way to work. We get 1 hour in Chicago of Colin Cowherd, and then they cut to the
local. That's all you can handle, believe
me. Right. But I get maybe the first 30 minutes because I'm at work at that time. But this is what I see. This is the difference between the 80s and 90s brand of basketball and today's brand, okay? And I kind of blame the media for this. And it's easy to point the finger at the media. However, I have a point to this. Okay? What are players judged by today? Okay?
Offense.
And I mean, by all means, you can answer if you want to. But think about it. Players, how are they judged in the public eye? Are they judged by stats? Or is it by, you know, how many games they win in the regular season? No. Just like Tarvin said, it's rings. Well, how am I going to get to those rings? Today's people, today's players, their mentality is, what is the quickest way to get a ring? Well,
yes.
I'm going to team up with this guy, this guy, this guy. All right, we're going to go win some rings. Oh, you still don't consider me great because now you're judging me because, you know, I teamed up with guys. And I kind of, it's kind of defending the Miami Heat a little bit, even though I'm not a Heat fan at all. But what the point I'm trying to make is it's the media's fault that players are judged the way they are today as far as what makes you great. Back in the day, it was, hey, the mentality was different. You stay with the team that drafted you,
yep.
you make the players on your team better, and you go and you win championships at any cost. But now it's, okay, who can get the ring the fastest? Well, the only way to do that, guys, is by teaming up with other great players, and that's what the Heat did. And, you know, but it's still like, well, you know, there's still something wrong with it. So I blame the media for the way players are now judged as far as how you know, what makes them great and what makes them not so great.
How about the key phrase in what you said in all of that? And very valid point. But the key phrase in that point that you made was make the other players around you great instead
mm-hmm.
of going to a team with a bunch of great players. There's a huge difference in that statement. And those were the players that when they made the players around them better players, made them great. That's the Michael Jordan making Scottie Pippen good, and the only reason why Horace Grant has one championship ring compared to the many that he could be if he was that. That's the difference, and you're so right in that as far as – but is it the media's fault? I'll tell you what I'm going to blame it on. It's in part of the media because they're part of it, but technology has done it, okay? Remember in the day you were watching the NBA on Saturday and Sunday only, okay? All right, now mm-hmm. technology has gotten to the point where they bring you every single game if you want to see it, and it's put up on the showcase. ESPN is the all of get all when it comes to sports. If you're not on ESPN, you're not relevant. So I think I blame it on technology because guess what? Once you're watching ESPN, and if you're not watching the whole game, the only thing you're watching is highlights. And highlights are not the game, okay? They're great times in a game, but they're very rarely, and I'll put this out there, they're very rarely the reason why a team wins a basketball game. And that's the point, and that's the difference between watching the NBA just 15 years ago till now, because the internet and everything else and the social media and everything else really didn't start popping until 1995, right? So since 1995 to now, the technology of what all media people are a part of, ESPN, now you can get it on your phone and everything else. The visibility of sports is so much different than it was during the day. You were able to recognize greatness by play because you didn't see them every single day. And once you see them every single day, the parts of the games that are important, like defense, okay, it gets overshadowed because of highlights, and you don't normally see a lot of great defensive highlights when it comes to ESPN Sports Centers. Right, Cuervo?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all about highlights. I mean, you know, that's what Sports Center does, is they show you what you missed. And,
yep.
You know, I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong or I disagree, Sonny. However, I get the whole point of, you know, maybe it waters it down a little bit as far as you get to see everything all the time. You know, and you know, you can, and social media as well, you know, kind of plays a big part in that too, because, you know, you know, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, you know, players are getting criticized and things like that, and people start having, you know, they start creating their own judgments and mentalities of certain players, and you know, it just kind of spreads like wildfire. So,
yep.
You know, it. I think a big part of that is what plays into how players are judged today as well.
Absolutely, and you know, whenever a player is in trouble, you don't hear about it in days. You hear about it in literally minutes. Okay, and it's all across the world, and everybody knows it. As soon as that enter button is hit, it's known within minutes in the world. I mean, if a guy got pulled over for a DUI, you didn't know about it until the next morning when they were walking out of a jail cell, okay? With today's social media, phones and cameras and everything else, everybody's paparazzi, and how I could get tape on something and become, you know, the next great big buzz for you know, for 20, 25 minutes be trending and the story's out there. It is. It's a different day and age. But I go back to the fact that it is a different game as well, and I think that comes from the fact that it can be seen more. And let's be honest, it has to be about offense because defense doesn't bring people to watch games on TV. And you can talk about the fans in the stadium all day long, but really that is really secondary compared to what it actually gets seen out up on cable there, Tarvin. And I think we might have lost Tarvin. Yep, we lost Tarvin. So, once you have all that put together, that's the reason why you see what you see, I think, out there. But, you know, it is. I mean, I'm a lot older than you, so I've seen a lot of changes, and I see good with it. I see bad with it, and a lot of the bad stuff is the fact that, you know, it does affect the purity of the game, which is, say what you want, and I don't like Dennis Rodman, and I'll put it out there. The only time I ever thought that this guy was worthy of his Hall of Fame speech was, or his ring was, during his speech. But defensively, this guy was a monster, and this guy found something, and he wasn't great on the offensive side, but he got notoriety on the defensive side of the ball. You don't see that in today's NBA, Cuervo.
No, you don't, Sonny, because it's like you said, it's an offensive game now. Everybody loves offense.
No one cares.
Everybody loves,
yep,
points. You know, they want big numbers. Everyone likes big numbers. So, you know, in baseball, if you don't hit, you know, 40 home runs, well, you had a bad year, or you had an average year. Like 20 years ago, hitting 40 home runs, you were probably leading in your respective league.
Absolutely.
Whether it's American or National. Now, hitting 40 home runs, yeah, you had a decent year.
Yep.
But this guy hit 55, or whatever the case may be. So,
yep.
You know, in the NFL, I mean, I'll pick a guy, you know, one of your favorite quarterbacks, Tony Romo, Sonny. He threw for, what, 30-some-odd touchdowns this past year?
Absolutely.
You know, back in the day, he was probably top five in the NFL. Today,
yep.
Yeah, not bad. Pretty decent year. Yeah, yep. Peyton Manning had 55 touchdowns. So, yeah, that's what you have in today's sports is big numbers, you know, record-breaking. That was 20 years ago would be record-breaking, but now is just a decent year. And then, obviously in the NBA, you're scoring 30 points a game. You know, that's not bad, but you got Durant scoring 33, 34. So, the game has changed. It's more offensive. Defense gets overshadowed. And, you know, you guys were talking about Durant a little while ago, speaking of Durant. And I don't know, you were talking about him stepping his game to the next level. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy, Sonny, because
I agree.
In today's NBA, it's all about guard play, in college and in the NBA.
I'm glad you said that because I think before you came on, that's exactly what I said. You don't need the center anymore. You got power forwards.
Yeah, well, not even them, Sonny, is what is really the key person on the team. It's those guards. Look at Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, he's listed as a small forward, but the guy plays like a two guard. And he wins the MVP shooting lights out from three-point land. He plays like a two-guard. So my point is you have to have that guard play. Him and Tony Parker tore the Miami Heat up to pieces. And that's what won them the NBA Finals on top of Ginobili contributing. He's not the player he used to be, but he still contributes. You know, and Duncan, all he did was contribute, you know, put a couple of baskets here and there. Duncan wasn't scoring 30 points a game. It was Leonard.
Yep.
It was Parker making the difference. It was Danny Green making a difference. It was Kawhi Leonard obviously making a difference. So those are the guys that what makes a basketball team today. So, you know, as much as I love Durant, and I like Durant a lot, he should not be the focus or the blame at the same time of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got to get better at the guard play. And the mistake Sonny, was not finding a way to hold on to James Harden. Once they let go of James Harden, it was over.
I agree with you, and that's a big time. And look what he's doing down in Houston. Nothing. Not only that, hey, check it out. Okay, he made $13 million last year for the Houston Rockets. If he was up there with Kevin Durant, him, Westbrook, and Durant, that guy'd be making close to $17 million in the top, you know, within the top 20 money makers in the NBA. I think it was one of the biggest mistakes that Oklahoma City did in reality, because when you lose a guy that, I'm talking both of those guys brought something to a game, and then you add Michael Westbrook up on top of that, that just makes you 10 times better. So I think you're right. I think there's a big, big difference in what we're seeing out there. So before we go and before we got time, LeBron, does he stay in Miami? Does he go someplace else?
I think he stays. I think he finds a way to stay. If the Heat get rid of anybody, though, Sonny, I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably going to be Flash, Dwayne Wade.
No, he ain't going nowhere. No one's going to – I don't think so. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's money. Okay, money. All right, no, I don't think there's a team out in the NBA right now that is going to pay, let's be honest. The guy's aging by the second, okay? All right, $20 million, okay? I don't think there are too many teams out there that can or will do that. So I think if anybody goes, people are going to pay the LeBron James money, which is about $5 million more than Dwayne Wade. Plus, he's set in that contract, and I don't think he's going to take the pay cut. I think if anybody goes, it's going to be Bosch, and it's going to be James, and Wade stays there. And at that point, I don't think Bosch goes anywhere. If anybody goes anywhere, I think it's LeBron James.
No, you never know, Sonny. You might be right.
Yeah, you never
I think
exactly.
I think you can all agree, though, that the big three in Miami are not going to be the big three anymore coming next year.
I think we all agree with that, but you know what the sad thing is if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I think we said the same thing last year after they won the championship. I think we said the same thing, so I could be wrong. I've been known to be wrong, so.
Well, you know what? I mean, there's more of a reason to break it up now because look at how they embarrassed themselves in the finals. I mean, they got embarrassed against San Antonio.
They got their asses handed to them, and they were lucky to walk out with their head hanging somewhat high with one victory. And if it wasn't for Chris Bosh in that game, they wouldn't be there either.
It would have been sweep.
Oh, sweep city. Sweep city. But, you know, that's just the way it usually ends up happening. But that's going to do it for us here on Sports Talk with the Guys. Again, I would stay, but I got a lot of things that I'm doing today. And, of course, we're calling a football game tonight up on the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's the United Conference Championship game where the Sioux Falls Storm are taking on the Cedar Rapids Titans in Sioux Falls. So it's going to be good stuff. We'll be bringing you that coverage here tonight on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So for everybody involved, scorekeeper, Tarvin, and, of course, Cuervo joining us a little bit. Everybody have a good day. Cuervo, have a good one, my friend. Are you up tomorrow morning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was just about to ask you that.
What time you want to do? What time's good?
I'm available till about 12 o'clock. So if you want to start around 10 your time, or our time, that would be, you know, give us 2 hours. But I do have things to do around noon.
Got it. All right, then we'll do that. We'll look for 10 o'clock. For that being said, over on the Couch Potato Sports Show, it's a Sunday morning tradition as we get started. So that's going to do it for us here tonight, or today here on the Couch Potato Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterback. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.